going God's way for very long. So Sukkot under Joshua, then 1,000 years later, Sukkot with Nehemiah and Ezra. And when they celebrated, they put up these booths. Just imagine the place covered in Sukkot. And it says that their joy was very great. Why would their joy be great? Just because they had covered all the ground with sukkahs. Because they returned to the Lord. They returned to the word of the Lord, absolutely. Because they were doing something again that the Lord had told them to do, and they missed it for 1,000 years. Now let's finish it up with verse 18. Day after day, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from the book of the Torah of God. They celebrated the feast for 7 days, and on the 8th day, in accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly. So they did what Scripture said, and for the whole feast, they read the Torah every day. It's like they couldn't get enough of it. So that's how Nehemiah and Ezra celebrate Sukkot. They went out to the hillsides of Jerusalem. They grabbed the foliage they could grab. They put up Sukkot everywhere, and they were filled with joy. They were rejoicing heavily. Now, what's a sukkah? Jonah chapter 4, verse 5 says, this is at the very end of the story. He's already given his word to Nineveh. And Jonah goes out from the city and sat east of it. There he made a shelter. He made a sukkah for himself and sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen in the city. So what do we learn from that verse? That a sukkah provides shade. That's what a sukkah is. Apparently, according to Nehemiah and Leviticus, it's made from the surrounding trees, plants, and naturally growing or native foliage. So it's an organic hut that provides shade. That's a sukkah. In Judaism, a sukkah must have a roof that is, quote, sufficiently sparse to permit the stars to be visible from within. So at night, you're supposed to be able to look through and be able to see the stars. That means that you don't have too much shade and you don't have too little shade. So Judaism makes this requirement. However, there is no such explicit instruction offered in Scripture. Does Scripture therefore allow creativity with sukkah design? I think so. If you go and Google sukkah, it's amazing the different sukkah designs that are out there. People will use organic materials. Some people will use plastics, PVC. They'll use bed sheets. They'll use burlap. They'll use prefabricated sukkot. And I'm not saying one's right or wrong. My personal opinion is it should be as natural as possible within your means and within your ability to create such a thing. And also given the climate in which you live, assuming that, of course, you're not keeping it in Jerusalem where it should be kept. So even though Judaism has this prescription for how dense the roof of the sukkah is supposed to be, Scripture doesn't say so. As far as I know, you can completely cover the top of your sukkah, and that wouldn't be wrong because it's providing shade. Now, here's a side note. And this is something that I've heard along the way in my Messianic Jewish journeyings. Some groups will go away for Sukkot conferences, and they'll spend Sukkot in a hotel. I have no problem with people staying in a hotel for Sukkot. They can do that if they want to. But the issue that I take with it is that they go out of their way to justify their observance by saying, we're living in a temporary dwelling because it's a hotel. It's not where I usually live. That's exactly right, Heather. That's exactly where it falls apart. That's right. They say it's a temporary dwelling, but my point is a sukkah is not a place that you live temporarily. A sukkah is a dwelling that is temporary. It is not a permanent dwelling. Do you see the difference? Like I said, if you want to keep Sukkot in a hotel, that's fine, but you can't defend the position that a hotel is a temporary dwelling according to the definition of Scripture. It may be temporary for you, but the hotel itself is not temporary. Okay, the prophetic theme of Sukkot, a feast for all nations. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 16 through 19. Let me set this up real quick. The context of this passage, it's talking about the day of the Lord and the permanent reign of Adonai. The nations will fight against Jerusalem, but Adonai will come and fight for Israel, securing Jerusalem forever. So then verses 16 through 19 take place after Adonai has accomplished this, after the day of Adonai has arrived. Then the survivors from all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, and to celebrate the feast of Sukkot. If any of the peoples on the earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the king,